Good morning, and I extend a Christian greeting to all of you this morning. We continue this part of the service and the message. Could we just bow for a word of prayer? God and Father, we come to you, we bless you, thank you for your loving kindness, your mercies, your call that goes out all over the world. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You've made a way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. And thank you, Lord, for that blessed hope you've given us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, and this morning we've seen through these photos, all over the world, there's many people that don't have hope. We see it on their faces, Lord, and there's a great need in our world. Grant us that we might be that beacon of light in a lost and dying world that brings hope through the gospel of Jesus. So bless our time here. I pray the Holy Spirit will just enable me to share what you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning I will just get right in to the message. What the Lord has shared with me, I would like to share with you. Something I think maybe it's easily to take for granted. We don't think about it. And yet, it's a very needed aspect in your Christian life. And that is the Christian hope. So I would like to speak about the Christian hope this morning. First, I'd like to speak about what is hope. Then the source of that hope. And I'd like to speak about a little bit on false hopes. Number four, hope, its saving aspect to the Christian. And lastly, hope in the face of death. So we'll go through these. Recently, in January, we have two nieces in the state of Southern Kentucky that died. They went to be with the Lord. The one was 14 and the other one was 16. The one, the 14-year-old, was a special needs child, but she was still very sweet, and she died very unexpectedly. And she had a very childlike faith. So we went to that funeral, and her sister, who had cancer, she was 16. She passed away when she was 2 weeks later. And yes, that one funeral we couldn't go to. And then there was another funeral of a young mother in Texas. The young mother. And there was a recent one, Abby's sister in Oakland, Nancy Schrock. And one thing about these funerals was the blessed hope that each one had. That was so the encouraging aspect. You know, because of hope, death lost its sting. And that is all because of Jesus, what God did for you and me. Hope is a gift of God. It's not something you drum up on your own. It's something that God gives into your bosom when you come to know him. Because he's the source of hope. Okay? So, yes, all these expressed hope. The young mother in Texas, I don't know what her name was. I wish I would know her name. Rose? Her name was Rose. On her deathbed, she saw, God gave her a revelation. She saw a field with flowers in it. And she saw Jesus. Then my niece, when she was 15, I thought I'll read this poem that she wrote. She wrote three of them, but this is one that was on her memory card. Tonight, as I was gazing up in that starry dome, I couldn't help but think of that eternal home. Just think of the happy meeting by the shiny golden gate, where I shall see my daddy. Oh, I can hardly wait. See, she lost her daddy 5 years ago. But you, if you listen to this, you see hope all through this poem. I can just begin to imagine us strolling by the crystal sea. We'll see the lovely roses ever seen by the eyes of me. And there'll be no trials, no heartaches in that land. There'll be no disappointments. Oh, that will be so grand. And the thing that makes me happy is because there's no cancer there to plague me and to hurt me. That land will be so fair. Lord, help me to be faithful while I live and meet my service here, that I may be worthy of that joy when you shall again appear. See, there's hope all through that poem. That's the blessing of the Christian. Think of all the hymns that are written by Christians because of the hope that they had. And we sing them. Sometimes we may think about it. Sometimes we may not. But they're just filled with vibrancy of hope. That was a hope that was alive, a living hope. So what is hope? Hope is always associated with desire for good. In the carnal and the spiritual use of the word, although there is a different meaning in the spiritual or in the scriptural meaning of hope than what we use it in our everyday language. In everyday language, we might say the weather calls for a 60% chance of rain, and we need rain. So we say we hope it rains. It's associated also with wish. When we get sick, we hope we get well soon. And so forth. It's kind of wishy-washy. Maybe, or a kind of an unsure optimism. The idea of hope is to wish for, to expect, but without certainty of the fulfillment that's in the natural. But belief that it is obtainable, to desire very much, but no real assurance of getting your desire fulfilled. That's in the natural everyday language when you use the word hope. It's very much associated with wish. In the Bible, hope is never a passive thing. It is dynamic, active, directive, life-sustaining. This is everywhere obvious as we read the word. In the scripture, according to the Hebrew and Greek, the words translated by the word hope, and according to the biblical usage, hope is an indication of certainty. Always with certainty. Hope in the scripture means a strong and confident expectation. Hope is akin to trust and a confident expectation. And for example of this, think of, we won't have time to go there, but think of two characters, maybe, for right now, Simon and Anna. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, it speaks about when Jesus was born, that Simon came into the temple when Jesus was there. And what did he give? He says he gave praise to God, and he shared a prophecy there. He said, this was what we were waiting for, the hope of Israel. And Anna said, this is also what they have been waiting for, redemption in Israel. They were looking forward to it with expectancy. God had revealed to Simon that he wouldn't see death until he would see the salvation that he would provide, which was the Christ, Jesus. And when he saw them, his heart was just thrilled that that promise was fulfilled. See, his hope was based on something that was real, on reality. It was based on truth, something that God shared with him, showed him. Hope may refer to the activity of hoping or to the object hoped for, the content of one's hope. By its very nature, hope stresses two things, future event or time, and invisibility. It deals with things we can't see or haven't received, or both. But we know the God of creation who talks about all these realities in his word. He's the source. Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So that brings us to God, who is the source of our hope. Ephesians 2:12 says, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Dear people, that was you and me. It says, without hope, having no hope. Why? Because we were without God. That's why there was no hope. Do you remember what that was like in your life? To have no hope? Sometimes it's good to think about it. Because when you do, you appreciate the hope that Jesus has given you. Let's not get so caught up in this present world, in what's going on in this present world, that we forget the hope that God has given to you and how precious it was when you received it. What was it like? There was probably fear. There was no peace. Terror when you thought about the hereafter. You just weren't sure what was going to happen. That was me. There was guilt. There was no rest. But when hope came because of Jesus, that all changed. As it says in verse 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter 2, I will read it. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Remember Brother Joe, he spoke about propitiation, I think 2 weeks ago, propitiation, that he is our peace. He's the one that stepped in the middle between us and God and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He, on a voluntarily, out of his love, took the penalty and of judgment for our sin, which was death. So you and I could be brought back to the Father. That's where hope begins. That is the source of our hope and for all mankind. And outside of that, there is no hope. All religions give a hope, don't they? Some sort of hope. But it's a false hope. Jesus Christ gives a living hope, a hope that is alive. And that's because he arose from the dead. He is alive. That's why the hope that you and I share is real. It's alive. It's not past. It's not dead. It's not just based on some wishful thinking. It's based on God's promises and on the reality that Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, I thought, you can't just get on any jet plane and expect to end up in the Bahamas or Hawaii, some vacation land, just because you got on a plane. It just doesn't work that way. Neither will it come out well for you to believe any myth and philosophy of man and expect it will come out all right. It won't. And expect to end up at the pearly gates when it's all over. You must go to the source. That has the authority to give you that hope. And that is God himself. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the way. So your hope must be based on truth, facts that are unchangeable, upon reality, what is real. That is the basis and a source for a hope that will not leave you disappointed. Think of Abraham. When God promised to Abraham that he would give him a son, Sarah at first, she laughed. But obviously she changed because I believe she also believed, says in Hebrews. But at first it seemed like an impossibility. Abraham believed God. And then he had a hope for a son. You know how long he waited for it, for the son? 25 years. But God came through and they had a son. When they were completely past childbearing age, he could still hope. His hope was alive. Why was it alive? Because God, who cannot lie, promised it to him. That's why his hope was alive and real. And it was fulfilled. As it says in Romans 4, 17 and 18. Who against hope believed in hope. It came to pass. Okay, back to the verse in Romans 15, 4, where it says that through the scriptures we might have hope. What scriptures is he talking about? Through the scriptures. It's through God's word that he had given to the prophets. There were hundreds of prophecies that God gave through many different prophets over a span of thousands of years about the birth, the life, the sufferings, and the death, and the resurrection of Christ, of the coming Messiah. And they all came to pass in their time. They came to pass to the letter. So think about that. That's awesome. That's incredible. And should give any searcher of truth confidence that what he has said, he is also able to do today. That is the source of your hope. He is worthy of your trust, can be trusted. But the desire of anybody who wants hope, there's many today, we'll get into that in a bit, that latch onto myths and philosophies. They're not anchored in the Word of God. So your hope must be anchored in God's truth. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Okay, God warns of having a false hope. This is pretty serious too. Having a false hope. That's something we should be concerned about. I think we know what it is. The Bible warns us about it. There's something about, I like to read in the 49, back in the, they call them the 49ers, when they went out into California and searched for gold. They heard about the gold out there. The thing about it is they also had pyrite gold. It's called fool's gold. This is what it was. Pyrite, or what commonly known as fool's gold, has tricked countless prospectors into thinking they found valuable gold when they really didn't. Ever since the early days of the 49s, during the California gold rush, this metal has broken dreams for thousands of hopeful prospectors. To the untrained eye, pyrite looks quite similar to the gold in the sense that it's a similar yellowish color. But there are some notable differences between the two. Whether you're a recreational or professional miner or prospector, it's important to know and understand the difference between pyrite and real gold. Only then can you rest assured knowing exactly how much valuable gold you're going home with after a long day of panning and prospecting, or maybe after a week of panning and working. You know, you fill your bag with all this gold, and you think it's gold, and you turn it in to the dealer, and he looks at you and he says, well, what you have is pyrite gold. It's not the real gold. That would be sad indeed. You know, real gold is a value of, what, $1,700 an ounce? Why, pyrite gold, you might get a dollar an ounce for it. Not much for your labors. But to come to the end of your life and find that the hope that was you had your hope based on was not real. It was on myths and the philosophies of man, which many today, many religions offer a hope, but it's a false hope. If it's not anchored on God's word and his promises. The atheists even have a hope. Yes, they expect when they die that that's just going to be it when they die. Nothing on the other side of death. Death. That's their hope. They'll just turn to dust. What a disappointment they will face when their body dies, but their spirit lives on. They will meet God. Proverbs 11:7 says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation, his hope shall perish. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, unprepared. You know, sometimes when you talk to people, I don't know if you talk to them, they'll say, you ask about something about the afterlife, and they will say, yes, you know, they're ready. Or they're not afraid to die. Then you dig a little bit deeper and you ask, what is that hope based on? Why do you have confidence that everything will be all right on the other side? Because you want to make sure they're not on a false hope, riding on a false reality. Then they say, well, I was baptized. I go to church and I always try to live right, get along with my neighbor. What do you think? Those are good things, isn't it? I was baptized too. I go to church. I try to get along with my neighbor. I suppose you do as well. But in a time like that, that's the opportunity. I mean, if that's where his confidence is, it's a false hope. If it's not anchored in the Christ that God gave to you and me for the remission of sins, it must be based on God's provision, on Jesus Christ and Him alone, because He is the way. 1 John 5, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. It's that simple. He that hath not the Son doesn't have life. It's that serious. Doesn't say he that is baptized has life. He that goes to church has life. But it says he that hath the Son has life. He that doesn't have the Son don't have life. It means eternal life. When you have that eternal life, that is what gives you hope. Matthew 7, 21 and 23, these words. These were people that had hope, obviously. They came up to the throne at the last day. And it says, Jesus said to them, and they were turned away. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A false hope. Jesus clearly warns. This is just one passage. We don't have time to go, and I won't go to all of them. But we need to be aware of that. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, remember the reason here in Matthew 7 was, it says, ye that work iniquity. You don't see any repentance there. They might have had a profession on something. Their hope was based on something, on religion. 1 Corinthians 6 is, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then it lists all these sins. And he says, and such were some of you. That's what your life was like, but now you're washed. You're sanctified. You're cleansed. He says, by the Spirit of God, by the blood of Christ, that makes the difference. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Thinking of hope, its saving aspect, its sanctifying effect in the life of the believer. Okay, I'll read a passage out of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 23, says here, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. You know, I've heard from some religious people stumble at this verse and say, we are saved by hope. That's all we have. And it's used in the context of wishful thinking. That's all we got. Hope is all, wishful thinking. We don't really know for certainty. Remember, I started out with hope is an expectation of good. It's a certainty. There's an assurance there. Hebrews would say it's an anchor of the soul. It's both sure and steadfast. It's not movable. With the tides, with the seasons, with changing times, with as years go by, it doesn't change with that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So hope does not spare you. What does this mean? Hope does not spare you from trials, hardships, sufferings, persecutions, so forth. Those are still part of the Christian life. But in those difficulties, hope, what does hope do? It inspires you. It aspires you. It encourages you to keep keeping on. Hope gives and brings courage. Hope gives imagination for good. That's one area you can imagine. Use your imagination. Like she wrote on this poem. She says, I can just begin to imagine. When it's based on God's word, that's a good place to go. That your mind. To imagine the truth, the beauty of the future life. Hope is so needed during these hard times in life. It is fuel to your faith. That's one of the saving aspects of hope. In my travels before the GPS, time of the GPS, now most of us maybe have a GPS, but before that, sometimes you'd get on a road, you just weren't sure, am I on the right road? And you were going and you didn't want to waste any time driving down the road 20 miles and turn around and go the other way. And soon a sign came up and it was like, oh yes, I'm on the right road. Good. And you keep on going. What did that sign do? It reaffirmed your hope, didn't it? That's what it does. In the spiritual sense, that's what the Word of God does. That's what the hope does. During difficult times, times of uncertainty, during trials, during heartaches, hope inspires and it encourages you just like that. That's the saving aspect of it. David, think of David. He says many a times, he went through hard times, David did. But he always comes back to hope. Hope thou in God. I don't have time to read, but I will just read the verse where he says, he goes through and he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? O why art thou disquieted within me? And he says, hope thou in God, for I will yet praise thee, for thou art the help of my I will yet praise thee for the help of thy countenance. That's where David always turned to. Hope thou in God. When things were going difficult for him. The next one. 1 John 3:3. that says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." See, there he knows a couple of things. He knows that he's a child of God. Do you know that this morning? If you're not sure of that, hope is kind of a thing that is kind of hard to get a hold of. That's one thing you need to get a certain of, that you are a child of God. When he says, we don't know what we're going to be like when he comes, but we know for one thing, we're going to be like him. That's all right. And he says, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. That hope is in you. You're looking, waiting, watching, expecting. And it has a purifying effect on you. In Matthew 24, we read of an account of a servant who had that hope, but he lost it. And he was commissioned. It says here, "Who then is a faithful and a wise servant when his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming." What was happening in this servant's mind? My Lord delayeth his coming. What happened to the hope? Delay. He'll come sometime, but I probably have 30 years yet. I'm only 25, or I'm only 30. I have a good bit of time yet. I might live until I'm 80 years old, ripe old age. I'll work. He began to believe that lie. My Lord delayeth his coming. So somehow he lost his hope. He got rid of it. He believed the lie from the devil. "He shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware of it, and shall cut him asunder, point his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The reason I read this passage is because John says that when you have that hope in you, it has a purifying effect on you, because you're watching, you're aware that you don't know when your day is come to go. So you remain expecting and watchful. It does have a purifying effect on the believer, that hope does. Amen? You follow me? This servant here, somehow, he didn't. He lost that hope. Where did he go? Back to the sewer. Back to his old life. Back there he went. I don't know how much time went by, but eventually his time came. The sad part of it, he wasn't ready. So hope is very important in having that purifying effect. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, what does a helmet do to the head? It's there to protect the head, right? Helmet protects the head. Spiritually speaking, the helmet, hope is considered like a helmet. He says here, putting on for an helmet the hope of salvation. It protects your thought life. Hope does. There's areas you don't go because of that hope. You know, there's a saying that says, you can't help that a bird flies across your head, but you can sure keep it from building a nest on your head. And that's with the thoughts that come into your head. Satan, he constantly tries to inject lies into your head, into your thought life, just like he did for Eve. He's still busy at it today. He's very skillful. But God has given us a protection. You know, you don't believe his lies. That hope, that helmet of salvation spiritually, you think upon things that are just, that are true. Where do those come from? They come from God. Yes. And you believe them. Things that are pure, things that are lovely and of a good report. Now, number five, hope in the face of death. Hope maintains and gives rest and peace in these times. They do. You know, there's an account in the Martyr's Mirror of the Anabaptists, an account of Christian going out to the stake to his death. The executioner was beside him. The Christian reached over to the executioner's hand, says, "Here, feel my heart. You may think I'm all nervous about death, but I'm in peace." As they walked out to the stake, he said, "Let me reach. May I feel your heart?" His was not at peace. He was not at rest, but the Christian was. Hope in the face of death. And again, it's because of Jesus. Think about this. 100% of people born, 100% will die. But not all die with the true hope. But for the Christian, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we sorrow not as those who have no hope. That's the blessed thing about a Christian. Because of the hope. Proverbs 14:32, the righteous has hope in his death. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:55, Paul writes to the Corinthian believers concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how that Christ was seen by 500 brethren, by James and the apostles, and at last by himself. He speaks about the celestial bodies. Then at the end of the chapter he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Like I said earlier, hope has taken away that sting of death for the believer. Then in 2 Corinthians 5, he's just one passage. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. Do you have that hope this morning? Do you know that? That if you leave this earth, you have a building that is eternal in the heavens. Not, it can be yours through Jesus Christ. So, do you have relatives, friends, someone that was close to you that went already? I think all of us do. You can have that hope to meet them again. Expect to meet them. What did King David say? This was all because of the the hope that he had. 2 Samuel, King David, when he lost his son. You know, he mourned. He was hoping, he fasted, he was hoping that he would revive and be healed, but he wasn't. He died. Then he said, he rose up and he ate. And he told his servants, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know, that's the blessed thing we can have of hope. We can expect to see them again in the sweet by and by. It's for the grace in Titus 2, verse 11, 12, 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ.